you tuned to yesterday, broadcasting programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levone. You're bringing you an hour of adventure later on, an exciting story on the adventures of Frank Grace. But right now, it's Dangerous Assignment, a syndicated recording from 1953, off to the Swiss Alps.
Baghdad, Martinique, Singapore. At all the places of the world where danger and intrigue walk hand in hand, there you will find Steve Mitchell on another Dangerous Assignment. Dangerous Assignment, starring Lloyd Burrell as Steve Mitchell.
Yeah, danger is my assignment. I get sent to a lot of places I can't even pronounce. They all spell the same thing, though, trouble. But when I walk into the commissioner's office, I don't realize this assignment's going to wind up with my solving a murder by getting hit on the head with a rock. Morning, Commissioner. You sent for me?
Steve, I want you to pin down a man who's been playing hide-and-seek with us for the last 2 weeks. His name is Tassin, Vincent Tassin.
What makes us want to play games with him?
I'm sure you remember the Algiers bombing a month ago.
Defense conference over there, Our delegate was William Sedgwick. His car was booby-trapped. He gets in to drive to the conference, steps on the starter, and gets blown up.
Right. Now, his death brought that conference to a standstill, slowed down the entire timetable of Mediterranean defense preparations. We're still trying to catch up.
So what's all this got to do with a gent named Vincent Tassin who's playing hide-and-seek?
He contacted us from Tangier 2 weeks ago, Steve, and claimed he could name the man responsible for Sedgwick's death.
What?
Tassin wants to make a deal with us.
What kind of deal?
I don't know. Probably money. He said he'd discuss his terms with one of our representatives. Well, we sent a man to Tangier, but he couldn't find Tassin. 2 days later, Tassin contacted us from Madrid and set up another meeting. Same thing happened.
You skipped town again?
Right. Next, he popped up in Barcelona, then Marseille.
Looks like Sedgwick's killer is hot on his trail.
That's my guess, too. And that's why we've got to act fast. Bob Martin's in Marseille right now, running down any and all leads. So get over there, Steve, work with Martin, and find Tassin before Sedgwick's killer does. Well, that's it. You've got your assignment. Good luck.
Sure, I've got my assignment. Get over to Marseille on the trail of a gent named Tassin who has a tip on a political murder we've been trying to crack for a month. Find Tassin before the killer does. It's early morning when I arrive in Marseille. Martin's at the airport to meet me, and I suddenly get the idea that something's happened. It has.
Yeah, that's right, Steve. I talked with Tassin on the phone no more than half an hour ago. He's up in the French Alps.
French Alps? Brother, he's really on the run.
Yeah, staying at an inn just outside a little village called Villon.
I'd better get on my horse.
Well, not exactly a horse, Steve. I've arranged a transportation by private plane.
Huh?
Come on. Oh, there she is over there.
That thing?
Yep. War surplus job.
Yeah, but which war?
Only plane of its size available, Steve.
What size got to do with... wait a minute. I get it. No landing field?
No landing field.
Cow pasture, maybe?
A cow pasture.
And not a very big one.
Not very big. But cheer up, Steve. The cows are small.
On this note of joy, I climb into the front cockpit. A few minutes later, the pilot guns a crate down the runway, and we rattle off into the wild blue yonder. It's a bumpy trip, but the scenery, as they say in the travelogues, is one of majestic splendor. I make a note to renew my subscription to all my travel magazines. It's late afternoon when we set down on a postage stamp pasture near the village in the French Alps. I head straight to the inn. It's owned by a man named Caesar, a big, happy gent with a voice to match. I find him behind the bar polishing glasses.
La 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 la. Ah, bonjour, monsieur. Is all of the sea there?
Up here, I expected yodeling.
Yeah, I am not one to disappoint.
Right now, I'm looking for one of your guests, Vincent Tassin.
Oh, up there, moving along the side of the mountain. Perhaps a third of the way up.
From here, they look like ants.
A party of mountain climbers, monsieur. Among them is your Monsieur Tassin. They left 3 hours ago.
He must be on the run again.
One does not run up that mountain.
Yeah. Isn't it sort of late in the afternoon to start up?
They plan to reach the ski lodge somewhere before nightfall and continue the climb in the morning.
Where is this lodge?
Round the side of the mountain overlooking Lake Lucette.
What's that? Yeah, that's near the Swiss border.
Oui.
You're probably where Tassin's heading, all right. Hey, wait a minute. These other members of the hiking party, who are they?
Well, former guests at the inn, Monsieur Jenner, Monsieur Kishevsky, and Monsieur Armendariz.
Did Tassin know any of them?
He did not seem to. He came downstairs to shake out, and the others apparently persuaded him to accompany them on the climb.
Great. Well, 5 will get you 10. One of them was hired to persuade him.
Monsieur?
I'll skip it.
If you wish to go to the lodge, I can make arrangements. The festival is in progress there. Music, dancing.
When can I leave?
Oh, not until morning. There is no guide available.
I've got to get up there tonight before Tassin does.
Him for Steve, monsieur, and... But no.
Well, that's what?
La pipe.
La what?
Pipe. A pipe, monsieur. It is the kind one smokes. It is the name of a shortcut up to the lodge, most dangerous.
A shortcut?
To attempt it alone would be almost...
That's for me, Caesar.
That's the spirit, old chap.
Huh?
Ah, Monsieur Agrave, you hear this one?
Yes, yes, I heard.
Monsieur Agrave, this is...
Mitchell.
How do you do? So, La Peep holds no terror for you, eh? Good. But Caesar's right, you know. Suicide to try to learn. I should know. I have the lumps to prove it.
You familiar with this area, Hargrave?
Rather, yes. I manage to gather a few pounds each year, spend a week or two in the Alps. Then it's back to London, the dreary life of a clerk. Hemsley, Hawkins, Twinkler, and Havisham solicitors. On due money, Caesar.
Yeah.
Join me, old man?
It's on me.
Oh, tell the truth, I was rather hoping you'd say that. 2 due money, Caesar. And 1 for yourself. You mind, old chap?
Hargraves, how'd you like to scrape together a few more pounds?
I should like that very much. The festival, you know. Frightfully good show.
Well, what's stopping us?
Eh?
I've got to reach that lodge tonight. Do you show me the way or do I try it alone?
Exactly how many pounds did you have in mind?
What's a guide usually get?
I'm not a guide, old boy.
Double the amount.
Double, eh? Your health, Mesame.
Oh, santé.
Well, Hargraves?
Double the amount, eh? Right, old boy. Let's get cracking.
Getting tired, Mitchell?
Are you kidding? Look, we've been pushing up this mountain for over 2 hours. I thought you said this was a shortcut.
It is.
I'd hate to take the long route.
Not bad, really. Frightfully dull, though.
Nothing dull about this one.
It's a long way down. 2,000 feet, at least.
Don't remind me of it.
You want to stop for a while?
No, let's keep going.
Good. It'll be dark before long.
Hey, Hargraves.
Yes?
I've been wondering. Why do they call this shortcut La... whatever it is they call it?
La Peep, the pipe.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Somebody else named it, then forgot to explain why. The French, you know. Frightfully careless about those things.
I seem to remember a place in England called something or other on the Thames.
Oh?
Wasn't anywhere near the Thames.
Touché, old boy. However, there are some towns...
Look out! Hargrave slips, and the sudden tug on the rope that links us jerks me off my feet. I pitch forward, reach for something to grab hold of, nothing. And the next thing I know, I'm over the ledge, dangling at the end of the rope, 2,000 feet above the floor of the valley. As I swing into the side of the cliff, I latch on.
Mitchell!
Stretch out!
Relax, Hargraves. I'm all right.
Where are you?
Under the ledge. Just keep a good hold on that rope in case I slip.
Right, Al. Can you make it back up here?
Yeah, I think so.
Careful!
Okay.
Oh, good boy. Here, give me a hand.
I'll manage. Just hold on to that rope, Hargraves.
Right.
There we are.
Phew, I say, old man, that was a bit of a shocker, eh?
Oh, yeah. Now, what were you saying?
It was after 7 that night when we finally arrive at the ski lodge and find the festival in full swing. I inquire about Tassin and party, learn they haven't arrived yet. That doesn't sound good. Look around for Hargraves. He's gone. I finally find him dancing with a tall, slender blonde. I drag him outside.
Oh, I say, old man, be reasonable. I brought you here. That's what you wanted.
Yeah, but the man I'm looking for hasn't arrived. Let's have a look.
Now?
Now.
Not the festival.
Never mind the festival.
That stunning creature I was dancing with, the one with the yellow hair. I say, old boy, do you think it's real?
Come on. Start down the trail away from the lodge. It's night now, but a full moon is out, and it makes the going a lot easier. A half hour later, there's still no sign of Tassin and his party. Then we finally pull up at a lonely shepherd's hut. There's smoke coming out of the chimney.
Hello there.
Hello. I'm looking for a Vincent Tassin. Is he with
Tassin? Oh, yes, come on in.
My name's Mitchell. This is Hargraves. I was expecting Tassin at the lodge.
Oh, we had a little accident along the way. Kuszewski here twisted his ankle.
Huh?
Oh, it's not bad, but it slowed us down.
So we found this hut and decided to put up for the night. I am Jenna. This is Kuszewski and Armandeyer.
Where's Tassin?
I went out a little while ago.
Looking for wood.
He has been gone too long. Jenna, I told you something might have happened
to him. Ah, what could happen to him?
Relax, Amondarith. Kuszewski's right. What could happen to him?
Which way did he go, Jenna?
Back, down the path.
Thanks. Come on, Hargraves. We go outside. It started snowing again. My hunch is right. Tassin is headed for the Swiss border. Hargraves and I split up. He takes one side of the peak and I take the other. There's no sign of Tassin. The snow stops, but it's pretty dark to see very far. And after 5 minutes or so...
Mitchell! Mitchell!
It's Hargraves around on the other side. I work my way around to him as fast as I can.
Over here, Mitchell!
You find Tassin?
I don't know.
Huh? What do you mean?
Look. Down there.
Where? I don't see it.
There's just enough light left to pick up that red jacket. There. At the foot of the cliff.
Somebody sprawled in the snow. Looks like I'm just a little too late.
We should... almost down to the spot, Mitchell.
Yeah. Getting darker by the moment.
Wait. Over there.
Huh? Oh, yeah, I see it.
Well, here we are. Ah, very dead.
Oh, see if he's got any papers here in his pockets, too. Oh, yeah.
Now light my lighter.
Thanks. Vincent Tassin, all right. Wait a minute. Hold your lighter down near his head.
Huh? Right, huh?
That's it.
What is it?
Well, Tassin apparently fell face down, but look, the back of his head.
Oh, yeah. As if he'd been struck there with something hard.
Maybe somebody dropped a rock on him, and that's what knocked him over the edge. Come on, let's climb back up and take a look, huh?
Hey, well, I'll lead the way.
Now, let's see. We're just about directly over the spot on the trail that he fell from.
Yes, I should think so.
Wait a minute. Look over there. Patch of bare dirt about a foot across.
I see. That's where the killer must have taken the rock from.
And dropped it down on Tassin.
Well, now, boy?
Now I'm going to have a little chat with those three back at the hut.
Oh, it's Mitchell and Hargraves. Did you find Tassin?
I certainly did, Jenner. At the bottom of the cliff, dead.
Why, no.
Dead? You're joking.
Some joke.
Well, how did it happen?
That's a good question, Armendariv.
Hey, just a minute. What are you trying to say?
Suppose we start with you boys saying something, like where each of you was during the time Tassin was out of this hut.
You don't mean you suspect one of us?
I don't mean anything. I just want to find out where you were. Which of you's in charge of the party?
Well, I suppose I am. I'm a Shee instructor down below, and I was acting as guide.
Okay, Jenner, so we start with you. Did you leave the hut while Tassin was gone?
As a matter of fact, I went out with him.
Oh?
But I returned with a load of wood and left him still gathering it. That was just before you two arrived.
I see. Armendariv, how about you?
Why, I went outside briefly.
While Tassin and Jenner were gone?
Yes.
Why?
Well, I wanted to see if we could get back down the trail the way we had come. See here, Mitchell, I resent these questions.
I'll take it easy, old boy.
Well, Koszewski, what's your story?
He did not leave the hut.
You were here alone, then?
Of course, I... Well?
In other words, there's no one to prove your story.
I am telling the truth.
Well, this is just great. Jenner, you're the leader of the party. Are you the one who invited Tassin to come along?
Why, yes, when he found out we were going to make the climb to a spot near the border, he became very interested, and so I invited him. And what is wrong with that?
Nothing. Maybe.
I say, Mitchell, it's stopped to snow again. I suggest we get back to the lodge before we're snowed in.
Yeah. Hargraves, you lead the way. I'll bring up the rear. And you three better get one thing straight. Any of you try anything on the way back, I'll be right behind you, just waiting. Okay, let's shove off. The snow keeps falling as we work our way back down the trail toward the lodge. I've got a killer on my hands. Is it Jenner, Armendariv, or Koszewski? Of course, even if I find out, I still don't have the boy I'm really after, the gent Tassin was going to put the finger on. One behind the Algiers bombing. It stands to reason Tassin wouldn't accompany the climbing party if this man was in it. Therefore, one of the three must be a hired hand. All of which leaves me not much further along than ever. Then, as we're about two-thirds of the way back to the lodge, a fight suddenly breaks out up in front. I run up. It's Jenner and Armendariv.
No.
I've had all I'm going to of your remarks.
Let go of me.
Watch out, the edge of the trail.
Let go of him, Jenner.
No,
I said let go.
Oh, thank you, Mitchell. I think he would have pushed me over.
What's the trouble, Jenner?
Remarks he was making under his breath. I got fed up.
What remarks?
Well, never mind. It's over. I'm sorry, Armendariv.
Armendariv, what remarks?
As Jenner said, it is over. Let us forget it.
They must have been pretty strong remarks to cause a fight like that.
Mind your own business, Koszewski.
Look, let's not start another one. Get moving.
Lodges. Just ahead, Mitchell.
Good.
Oh, at last.
How's that ankle, Koszewski?
It's getting worse. I will be glad to get off my feet.
I don't want any of you three to leave the lodge for the present.
Don't worry. I'm going to bed. I will be in my room if you want me.
Right.
And so will I. And I will be over at the bar. I'm sure you can keep an eye on me there.
I'll try, Jenny.
So there, chap, what?
Seems to be.
Well, you don't need me anymore, old boy. I think I'll see what happened to
the girl with the yellow hair.
How did you guess?
Just like it. Okay, Hargraves, thanks for everything.
What's the matter?
See you later. What stopped me is the sight of somebody slipping out the side door. Armand Darrett. I follow. Outside, the snow is swirling around thicker than ever. About 50 yards from the lodge, he looks back and spots me coming at him. He grabs up a rock and swings it at me. I sidestep, it grazes my head, and I lock his wrist.
Let go of me. Mitchell.
Who do you think it was?
Oh, I did not know. I saw someone coming at me through the snow, and I thought I was in danger.
Where were you heading just now? I thought I told you to stick around the lodge.
I want to get out of here before the same thing happens to me that happened to Tassin.
Why should it? You maybe know something about who killed Tassin?
No.
What started that fight between you and Jenny?
Something I said to him.
I know that, but what was it? Come on, open up.
Tassin and I became friendly during the climb. I could see he was afraid. He told me somebody was after him.
Tell you who it was?
No. But when Jenna left the hut with Tassin and then you discovered Tassin's body, I thought Jenna might have been the killer.
You hinted as much to him?
Yes, and he jumped me, as you saw.
Well, either he's guilty or a hothead. And speaking of hotheads, you can drop that rock now.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. I did not realize that...
Hey, wait a minute. Hold everything.
What?
You said you were sorry. Brother, I think you just solved the case.
What are you talking about?
That rock. Look down there on the ground. See if you can tell me where you picked it up from.
Why, no. The snow is still falling, Mitchell. As we have talked, it has covered over the place on the ground where the rock lay.
That's just the point. Hey, get down.
What?
Quick, behind this tree.
I shot.
Yeah, I spotted a glint of metal over there near those boulders.
But who is it?
My old friend, the killer. Stay here. I'm going after him. I start circling, using the trees for cover. The snow's coming down thicker than ever. Suddenly, I spot the outline of a figure ahead of me. He's got the same idea. He's circling, too. I reckon it won't be long before he sees me, but we keep on circling, and still he doesn't shoot. Maybe the snow is making it a bit difficult to spot me. I go on like a couple of cats for a while, and then suddenly I realize I'm right above him. I get ready to jump just as he flips up the gun. As he fires, I jump. I land close enough to knock him off balance, and while he's trying to get back and come at me, I lay him a hammer. He's out to it, there in the snow. I bend over and pick up his gun as Armand Darrath comes hurrying up.
Mitchell! Mitchell!
Right here, Armand Darrath.
Who is Wait. It is Hargraves.
It sure is. I should have known that English accent was phony.
But I thought the two of you arrived at the hut together.
We did. Now I know why Hargraves was so easy to hire. He wanted to find Tassin, too. To kill him.
I do not understand.
You told us Tassin had gone out for wood. Hargraves and I split up looking for him. Apparently, Hargraves found him alive. He dropped a rock on Tassin that knocked him over the cliff and killed him.
He is coming, too.
Come on, Hargraves. We've got a date at the nearest police headquarters. A little matter of bombing in Algiers.
Mitchell, how did you...
Tumble to you? It took me only until just a minute ago. It was snowing when we left the hut to look for Tassin, remember? It didn't stop until just before you yelled that you'd found the body.
The rock?
Yeah. There was bare ground under it. That meant it had only been picked up a few minutes before. It left the other three men in the hut. It had to be you.
The bare ground.
Yeah. That's what tripped you up, Hargraves. Maybe I should say that's what did you dirt.
Dangerous Assignment, starring Lloyd Burrell as Steve Mitchell. This is a Grace Gibson Radio production directed by Lawrence H. Cecil. Be with us again next week, same time, when Steve Mitchell will embark on another Dangerous Assignment.
Dangerous Assignment, on Tuned to Yesterday, a syndicated broadcast from 1953. You are listening to an hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. Up next, radio actor Tom Collins stars in the adventures of Frank Race in a leading role. And although he was at the helm of this series, he was probably best known for being on the Mutual Don Lee Network program Chandu the Magician as Chandu in 1948. This next episode, called The Istanbul Adventure, released for syndication on May 15, 1949.
The Adventures of Frank Race, starring Tom Collins. The war changed many things. The face of the earth and the people on it. Before the war, Frank Race worked as an attorney, but he traded his law books for the cloak and dagger of the OSS. And when it was over, his former life was over too. Adventure had become his business. The Adventures of Frank Race. We join Frank Race for the Istanbul Adventure.
There are men who'll tell you they've seen the city die, and it's hard to find argument for their words. Our population has dwindled to half between the wars. Our trade has dried to a trickle. But somehow, with a wet night engulfing crooked streets and shadowy bazaars, I was feeling the old exhilaration and expectant sense of violence. As always, Istanbul.
Here, this doorway.
Yeah, rather close.
You're very helpful.
Cigarette?
Yes, thank you.
Light.
What is it?
I'm intrigued. A woman comes out of the night. A woman pursued by bullets. She turns out to be lovely.
If you don't mind, I must go.
Well, if you don't mind, I'll go with you.
No, please.
Oh, now look, tomorrow I'm leaving Turkey, but tonight you need help.
It's not for me. It's for a friend. A friend who is in trouble, an American like yourself.
American?
He's hurt, badly hurt. I think he's dying.
Well, let's get him a doctor.
That's why I'm trying to get out of this sector. I know a physician who will go to him.
I'll get you out. Come on. They. Here, let me get clear. Move behind me. Yeah.
Hey, Race!
Oh.
And I thought I knew my way around. This is worse than driving a hack in Boston.
It's all right. His name's Donovan. He's Brooklyn Irish and does harmless.
Hey, what goes on? Where are you, Frank?
Right here. Where have you been?
Oh, where have I been, he wants to know. I am out with a man just because he wants to go walking and he disappears. Where have I been?
I happened to turn up a side street while you were gaping in some window. I imagined you'd follow.
What do you say we start grinding back at the hotel, huh? Even with this slicker on, I'm beginning to feel like a blotter. Hey, who's this?
And come to think of it, we don't know each other's name, do we? I'm Frank Race.
I'm Lisa Kruger.
What's the story, right?
I don't know all of it, Mark. But there's an American nearby who needs medical help. We're going to get him a doctor. There are people around here who might try to stop us.
And you talked me out of bringing along my end wrench.
From another section of the city, Liesl made a phone call. Within 15 minutes, we were joined by the physician. He was young and tall and dark, with a face you felt you could believe in. Liesl introduced him as Dr. Amarand.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you for helping Liesl. I believe we shall manage all right now.
It might be harder getting back into that sector than it was getting out. We'd better stick with you. The rain had stopped, and with it had gone the freshness of the night. With no wind stirring, the street smelled fetid, oppressive. There was no lift to the blackness, and you got the feeling of continually being about to walk into something. Then there was a gate. Beyond it, a small light coming from what looked like a stable. Mark and I were asked to wait, and the other two left us.
You know, I wonder if we're going to get a chance to cancel them reservations.
What reservations?
On the boat.
Why should we want to cancel him?
Race, I got to look at that girl. You won't be taking no boat tomorrow. Which, to me, is kind of sad.
Here she comes.
You come, Race. You want your friend. I told the American about you, Race. He wants to talk to you.
He is too weak to say much, Mr. Race. If you will kneel down.
What's his name, Doctor?
Dwyer. Johnny Dwyer.
Hi, Johnny.
Hiya, fella. Where are you from?
I work out of New York. I was born in Indiana.
Hey, sounds like home. I'm from Dayton, Ohio.
Who hurt you, Johnny?
Some bad ones, fella. Pulling a bad deal. Liesl and Doc will tell you they're great people.
He'd better not speak anymore.
The candle!
Come on, come out of it, Race. Come out of it, will you? Oh, that's better.
Oh. What happened to me?
Well, you won't need to part your hair for a while, not the way that slug creased your head.
Where's Liesl? And the doctor?
I guess they got away. The doc got in a lick, too, eh? One of them visitors is as dead as a smoked herring.
What about Johnny? Johnny Dwyer?
He's dead, too, Frank. I don't know what these people are playing. But it ain't post office, Frank. It ain't post office.
As Mark had prophesied, we missed our boat. Because I went looking for Liesl. I spent almost a week at it before giving up. After which I lapsed into an inertia of just lying around the hotel.
Look, I never knew you'd get this low over a dame before. Why not think about other things, huh? Here, I brought up a telegram for you.
Yeah, read it to me.
All right. Hey, who is Anthony Woolwine?
Tony Woolwine. He's an executive for Intercontinental Underwriters.
Yeah, well, he wants to see you. Urgent.
Well, that means you get your wish about Fifth Avenue.
Don't sound like New York to me. This is from France. Someplace called Cannes.
It's on the Riviera, not far from Monte Carlo.
Monte Carlo? Where all that high-powered gambling goes on?
The same.
Oh, no kidding. Well, look, if it's all right with you, I just as soon postpone seeing Fifth Avenue for a little while.
Tony Woolwine, a nice guy who always seemed to be where there was sunshine. At Cannes, he had everything to go with the climate. Rambling villa, lots of ground around it, lots of swimming pool taking up the ground. He greeted me in bathing trunks and a tan that made everything about him seem brown but his grin.
It may look like a holiday, Frank, but I'm not over here just for laughs.
I've been wondering why you sent for me.
Tomorrow you embark on a dirty job.
Well, that's fair warning. Thanks.
Do you mind if I make a personal observation?
Go ahead. You got me under your spell.
You don't seem to have your usual eye out for the ladies. And here I've been thinking that this crop I gathered was unusually bounteous.
Yeah, with your usual discernment, you've provided both quantity and quality. I've noticed. Particularly that bit of symmetry near the diving board.
In the black suit? Ah, that's better. Now I'll stop fretting. Oh, there's somebody I want you to meet. Chuck?
Yeah?
Come on over here. It's a flyer I'd like to have you know. You like him. He's offered to help us out on this task I mentioned.
Hi.
Chuck, I want you to know Frank Race. Chuck Farrell, Frank Race.
Oh, Farrell, how are you doing?
How are you?
And I am Liesl Kruger.
She stood there quietly, utterly composed. An exquisite figure in a black bathing suit. She had been the one who'd drawn my comment, the one by the diving board. She looked young, younger than she had in Istanbul. And her loveliness in the stare of the sun was something to take the breath out of you.
Where, oh, where did we find this? Woolwine, you've been holding out on us. Hey, look, beautiful.
We thought you were dead, Race, when we saw you go down with the blood all over your face.
Blood all over your face?
You got away all right? You and the doctor?
Amaran's arm was broken by a bullet. We got away. We couldn't have done it had not you and your friend been there to confuse him.
I realize this must be some sort of a reunion,
Is Race the man you were telling me of, Tony?
Well, yes, Race is the man.
You mean there's a tie-up here somewhere?
Well, my side of it is purely insurance. The company's had to pay off claims on three large shipments of food, clothing, and medical supplies coming to Europe from the United States. We don't want to have to refuse insurance on future shipments, but naturally we can't keep that up. So we've got to solve the problem.
I take it these shipments weren't lost at sea.
Liesl, now it's your turn.
Well, it's the same thing that has been choking Europe to death for so long, Race. Black market. The last year it seems to have come under the control of one organization. All over the continent.
Is this what you've been fighting? You and Dr. Amaron?
Yes. To Americans, the black market might seem vicious. But I'm sure it seems impersonal. A blight that doesn't really touch you. But with us... Well, I had a brother. All I had left of my family. And a year ago, he became ill of pneumonia. I was assured that if he received penicillin, he would live.
It's usually effective.
I got him the penicillin, Race. At a price very hard for me to pay. I got him the penicillin. But he died. At the age of 19.
I'm sorry, Liesl.
He died because the drug was worthless.
What happened to those shipments that were lost?
Destroyed. Cargo, train, and crew. Nothing left each time but smoldering ashes.
I don't get it. What happened to them?
The black market would have stolen those shipments, but they knew it would be too difficult. So they destroyed them. Nobody knows how, because the train crews are always killed. And then the black marketeers get their high prices with shoddy clothes and bad food and synthetic medicine.
Sounds like a rough bunch.
Race knows how rough they can be. He saw some of their work in Istanbul.
There'll be two more trains going through this month. One on the 19th, the other on the 27th.
They must not be destroyed, Race. Listen to me. There is an epidemic of diphtheria breaking out through the western portion of France. Unless those trains get through with diphtheria toxoids, thousands of children are going to die.
The coastline of the Riviera is like no other place in the world. But for me, Liesl Kruger made it even more glamorous. Glamour. It was a quality she would carry with her wherever she went, heightening it with her beauty and a willingness to involve herself in lethal danger for a cause without profit.
There's no other spot like this, Race. For me, that is. You've probably seen other places just as lovely, just as unique.
As lovely? Yes. As unique? Not quite.
Oh, such a beautiful evening.
Liesl?
Yes, Race?
How do I get my teeth into this fight of yours? Where do I start?
Amaron. Amaron can tell you more about it even than I.
Where is he?
In Toulon. He would be happy to see you.
You seem very close, you and the doctor.
Well, when two persons share the dangers we have shared, there will naturally be a bond. But I'm not in love with him. If that is what you mean, Race.
Why do you do it, Liesl?
Why do I fight? That was my brother. And I suppose there's something else. Something it would be hard to put into words. You should know. You have the same feeling.
Well, I get paid for what I do.
Oh, do you always get paid? Who paid you for helping us in Istanbul?
Get out of it, Liesl. Let Amaron fight them. Let me fight them. But you get out of it.
Why do you say that?
We stood facing one another. And over my shoulder, the moonlight spotlighted the terrific face of hers, with its provocative lips and frame of thick, lustrous hair. I didn't grab her. I reached for her gently, and everything took time out for a while.
I meant that, Race.
So did I. And I'm asking you again to pull out of this business.
Race, I can't. I've got to stay with it to the end. No matter what the end. Maybe.
You awake yet, Frank?
Yeah, come in.
You're being invaded.
What's up?
We thought you might like to look the country over from the air. How long will it take you to dress?
A quarter of an hour. Where's the plane?
Oh, not more than 20 minutes from here.
Well, what have you got?
A salvage job I picked up. A P-47.
Some ship, Frank. Chuck thought he was getting a bargain when he bought that ice wagon. Lots of power, and he bought it for dimes. The payoff is that operating it will keep him in hock for the rest of his life.
P-47 adds up to a lot of planes.
I wouldn't have anything else. She pays her way.
Say, what's wrong with your hand, Chuck? When'd you do that?
Oh, I nicked it as I was gassing up the other day. It's a little swollen.
A little swollen? You'd better do something about it, Chuck.
Tomorrow. Today, I want to fly.
Chuck, since this is just a tour of duty with no destination, would you like to drop me in Toulon for a couple of hours?
Toulon? Why, sure.
I'll be calling on a doctor there. We'll get him to take a look at that hand of yours. Amaran stared at me when he saw me. His left hand hung in a sling. One of his eyes was almost shut with a bruise that extended down the whole side of his face.
Lace! But we thought that...
You thought I'd been killed, Liesl told me.
Liesl, you've seen her. Oh, why do we stand here? Come in.
She told me where to find you.
Huh?
I'm in this with you now, all the way. And there's an American insurance company behind me.
Oh, thank heaven. You cannot know how much we need help.
Tell me about Johnny Dwyer. Where did he fit in? What happened to him?
Well, he was, first of all, an idealist. So many of you Americans are. And he knew how to fight. So they murdered him.
What was he doing in Istanbul?
He'd learned too much. So the black marketeers chased him from here.
From Toulon? Is that why you're here?
Yes. Johnny Dwyer stayed at a quayside hotel there, a rat trap called the Charbonnier. Why he went there, Liesl and I never learned. Too many things happened too rapidly. But it was from the Charbonnier that they hounded him. First to Marseille, then to Rome, then to Istanbul. It was from Rome that we got his call for help and word to meet him in Turkey. You know what happened there.
The Hotel Charbonnier. I imagine they know you there.
Oh, I wish I could say I knew them as well.
You have no idea of an identity behind it?
Oh, nothing worth a sou. We've dealt with one or two, but they were no more than underlings. We learned nothing.
I'm going to take lodgings at the Hotel Charbonnier with a friend who was with me in Istanbul.
There must be a safer way.
But done quicker than I can see. And now, I wonder if I may ask a favor of you.
Oh, anything.
The pilot who flew me over here has a bad hand, an infection. I wish you'd look at it.
Well, he's here with you?
He remained in his plane, but I've got a cab outside.
Well, then let us go to him.
We found Chuck Farrell leaning against the fuselage of his P-47. In his hand, a silver flask with which he waved at us as we came up. Amaran, smiling as I introduced them, tightened his lips seriously when he saw the hand. He made a clinic of the 47's cockpit, taking Chuck's temperature and otherwise thoroughly checking his patient's condition.
You have absorbed quite a little alcohol lately, huh?
Oh, I guess I've been doing all right. Why? Come on, Doc, brief me on this.
When did you have an inoculation for tetanus last?
Never had one that I know of.
You were not in your army?
No. Do I have tetanus coming on?
It's possible.
Bad, huh?
Since you have received no toxoids, then I can bolster an inoculation with antitoxin. It's indicated.
Well, then let's have it. Will it make me sick?
It may not. Depending on your sensitivity to it. You should not fly this plane.
Oh, ever been checked out in a P-47 race?
Yeah.
Good. Then you can ferry us back.
Well, possibly. Dr. Amaran will come over and check your condition in a day or so.
Of course. And, when will you keep the rendezvous we discussed?
As soon as I can pry Mark Donovan loose from those Monte Carlo gaming tables. There are parks and promenades in Toulon, all handsome. There's the view of the sea. There's the cathedral, other old churches, and a fine town hall. And not far from its docks, on a crooked street, forgotten by all but the police, and a few citizens who would prefer that the police also forgot it, stands the Hotel Charbonnier, as dubious a hostel as you'll find anywhere along the Mediterranean.
I will say just one thing. If I'd have known I was leaving Monte Carlo for this, honest race, I think I'd have run out on you.
Now, cheer up, Mark. You'll find after a while the place grows on you.
Something's been growing on me, and it ain't my disposition. If I could only get me a cup of coffee.
Why don't you look around?
I've been looking around. There's wine everywhere. You can wade in this stuff, but not one drop of coffee. I gotta find some somewhere. Hey. A note under the door.
Let me have it.
What's it from?
Dr. Amaran.
He wants me to go to him at once. Something urgent. You wait here.
Oh, come here. Come inside, Race.
What is it? Trouble?
Worse than that. Tragedy. Look over there.
Liesl! She's been hurt. What is it, Amarant? What happened to her?
She's dying, Race. She got here about an hour ago.
Oh.
She's been trying to tell me what happened, but she's had only strength enough to say your name.
You've got to save her.
I've done everything I can, Race. Talk to her. She will hear you. She wants to hear you.
I had a lot of things to say to her, but if she ever heard any of them, there was no sign. After a while, I gave it up and went back to the Hotel Chauvigny. There in the musty hallway.
Grace.
What? No. It's you, Mark.
Come here, will you? Gotta have a look in here. I heard this morning that this place used to be a cafe, see? So I started poking around in the basement, thinking I might accidentally run across some coffee. So gotta move these crates first. And then this door. Can you squeeze through?
Yeah. What have you got?
Take a look at what I got. An arsenal. Rifles, pistols, submachine guns, even shells. Look at this one, will you?
Shell? That's no shell, Mark. That's a rocket.
What's the matter?
Oh, what a fool I've been. Chuck Farrell and his P-47.
What are you talking about?
P-47's Thunderbolts. Along with the British Typhoons, they were the top rocket-firing planes of the war. Rockets for knocking out tanks and trains. Trains, Mark, do you hear that?
Sidney, I hear it, but
Chuck Farrell, he destroyed the supply trains. And I've been eating with him, drinking with him, flying with him.
Wait a second.
What is it?
Someone out there. Must find out what we're doing.
Here, then. Load this pistol. You're going out through that window up there. When you get clear, fire two shots, you understand? Then head for Woolline. Tell him about this whole setup.
Now, wait a minute. You can boost me up to that window, but what about you? How you gonna get out of here?
Give me a foot and get going, hey?
Okay, I'm up.
Get clear to the street before you signal.
Yeah, but what are you gonna do?
Hold him over this Tommy gun. Get going.
Okay, I'm going.
Okay, one more rush to get that door open. Race?
What can I do for you?
It's Chuck Farrell.
Nice to have you aboard.
That machine gun won't do you any good, Race. I've got a dozen boys here. We'll smoke you out if we have to.
Farrell, listen.
All right, I'm listening.
You heard that shot?
Yeah, I heard it. So what?
That's a friend of mine, signaling that he's clear of here. He's going to Woolwine. To tell him how you've been using that P-47 to destroy those trains with rockets.
All right, Race. I'm coming in. Alone. And empty-handed.
Make sure your people stay out.
Relax, Race. They're getting lost. With Woolwine knowing about the rockets, why should I sweat out a lost cause?
Always play the cool hand. Is that the philosophy, Farrell?
Why not? We'll work out other deals. I've made plenty of money and I've still got it. What can you do? Extradite me? Nuts. Of course, you might turn that chatterbox on me. But you're not the type for that, are you, Race?
I don't have to be, Chuck. You're all taken care of.
What do you mean?
You look sort of feverish.
What? Sure I'm feverish. I've got tetanus. But I've been treated for it. You took care of that.
I know. I saw your doctor about an hour ago. He was trying to save the life of a lovely girl you murdered.
I didn't do that, Race.
You were part of it. The same way you've been part of murdering a lot of other people, including kids. But you finished, Chuck. Amaran said you weren't in shape for a bout with tetanus.
Stop trying to annoy me. I took that antitoxin, didn't I?
Dr. Amaran learned this morning that the antitoxin he gave you was worthless.
Worthless?
It was worthless because it came through your own black market channels. And there's none available that'll be effective. Not until a new supply arrives from America in 15 days. And in 15 days, Chuck, I have a feeling you won't be around.
Adventures of Frank Race, starring Tom Collins, came to you from Hollywood. The series is written and directed by Buckley Angel and Joel Murcutt. The music is composed and played by Ivan Dittmars. Be sure to be with us again this time, 1 week from today, for another dramatic chapter in The Adventures of Frank Race. Art Gilmore speaking. This is a Bruce Ells production.
Adventures of Frank Race on Tuned to Yesterday, a broadcast from the 15th of May, 1949. And that wraps up this hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.